Good morning again. If you have your Bibles, if you have your electronic devices, if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 3 in the New Testament, we're going to park there this morning for a little bit and look at some scripture there. And we're just going to kind of this morning go through some passages and look at, again, at the life of Paul. The message today is called the home stretch. If you have to have a title, just write down the home stretch on your notes. You know, we're on the home stretch of our 21-day fast, and I'll be talking about that in a little bit later. But the message today is about the home stretch. Paul, when he was knew he was on the home stretch of his ministry and his time on the earth, he wrote some things. And in this passage, we're going to see that in his writing that we knew he was on the home stretch. Jay, this is just a little hot. Try to pull it down just a little, please. Thank you. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord." And I'm using an NIV today. I've switched up on you. I really wanted to use the NIV for this passage today. "Finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you." He's saying, I've said some of this stuff to you before, but it's not a problem to say it again because you need it. It's a safeguard for you. So I'm telling you again. Verse 2, "Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus." Paul was always grieved by those who distorted the gospel of Christ. His love for Jesus, the church, and the truth of the word stirred in him strongly to push back against perversion, the perversion of the truth. He called those that did that dogs, evildoers, and mutilators of the flesh. And what he was talking about in those mutilators of the flesh, he was talking about those Judaizers, those Jews who were teaching based on the Old Testament law that in order to be a Jew, in order for salvation to come, you had to be circumcised. And Paul had already dealt with that. In fact, I'm going to take you back to Romans. I want you to stay parked there in Philippians. But he talked about this in Romans, and I'm going to just read it to you. Circumcision, if you want to make a note, it's in Romans 2. Circumcision has value if you observe the law. But if you break the law, you have become as though you had not been circumcised. So he's saying, okay, you Jews who say you have to be circumcised in order to be saved, if you go by that, that's the law, then you can't break the law. He's saying, but if you break the law, what good is your circumcision? It's as if you hadn't been circumcised, yet you say people have to be. Then he goes on to say, if those who are not circumcised keep the law's requirements, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? So he's saying, those who haven't been circumcised but yet receive Christ and they obey his commands, they follow the word of God, isn't the same as being circumcised? He says, the one who is not circumcised physically yet obeys the law will condemn you who, even though you have the written code, the law, and circumcision physically, are lawbreakers. He's saying those who have not been circumcised, yet they live by God's word, are condemning those of you who say, oh, you've got to be circumcised physically and live by the word even though they break it. He says a man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. Amen. Not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. He's saying that I don't care what you look like on the outside or what you act like on the outside. What's on the inside is what counts. What's on the inside is what counts. He's saying circumcision is not just a physical outward thing of the flesh. He said true circumcision, he's saying, is on the inside. Circumcision of the heart by God's Spirit. That's how salvation comes. That's how we walk in God's will. When the sin in our life and the darkness in our heart is cut away by the Spirit of God. That's what he means by circumcision of the heart. It's meaning the sin and the darkness in our hearts cut away by the Spirit of God. Follow me? See, what he's really referring to, there's another scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that says the letter or the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that's what he's illustrating here. Some of these Jews said, oh, you've got to be circumcised or you're not a Jew. You're not saved. You don't have salvation. But yet they go out and do whatever they want to do, contrary to God's word. You see, that's how the law kills. That's why Jesus came. Because we can't keep the law. We have to have a Savior to overcome that through his Spirit. So, look at... Back in Philippians, look at verse 4. Well, I'm going to back up and just read 3. He says, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ, and who put no confidence in the flesh. He says, that flesh, I don't put confidence in that fleshly circumcision. And he'll tell you why in just a minute. Who put confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Paul said, if you want to, you know, glory in the flesh, I can match that with you. He says, he goes on to say, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he tells why. Circumcised on the 8th day. Paul said, I was circumcised in the flesh. I'm a good Jew. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a real Jew. I'm as Jewish as anybody. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. He said, I know the law. I know the word. I know it as well as the Pharisees. See, Paul was an educated scholar. Highly educated. And so he said, you want to talk about flesh? Let me tell you about flesh. I'm all of those. I was all of those. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, as for excitement, passion, persecuting the church. Persecuting the church. Man, I had zeal. You want to talk about flesh? I was the strongest persecutor they had. They sent me to go gather all the Christians. And as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. I was perfect. I was as legalistic and as self-righteous as anyone. So he says, okay, guys, you want to talk about that? You want to boast in the flesh? There it is. I laid it out for you. I was at the top of all of it. And then, look at verse 7. But whatever was to my profit... In other words, all those things that I could boast in, that I could brag about more than anybody else, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. He says, all that stuff, all that education, All those things I did, all that zeal, all that passion, all that understanding of the law, the word, garbage compared to knowing Christ. Amen. And you see, he says all those things, really what he's saying is all those things became rubbish when I came to know Christ. Compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He's saying, I just gave up all those things. I let them go. Because they're meaningless compared to Christ. I consider them rubbish, garbage, trash, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. He said, I consider them garbage so that I may have a relationship with Christ. Because you see, just like the Pharisees, all those things were keeping him from knowing Christ. Oh, he was holding the law. He thought he was upholding the law, and he was. But the law kills and the Spirit gives life. And when we met Jesus, he met the Spirit of God. He met the Spirit of God. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, have a relationship with Him. Not having a righteousness of my own. See, the righteousness of His own is what He talked about in all those things that He could brag about if He chose to. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. You got to be circumcised or you're not saved. But which, through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. See, our righteousness comes from God. Amen. Through faith. Through faith. And then he says, you see, this is, it's clear. This is Paul's clear passionate of faith that he's talking about. This was his home stretch. To know Christ intimately. To know Christ's ways. His nature. His character. His who he was. To know his word. Not just know his word intellectually. But to know his word personally. Practically. And applicable to his life. See, true knowledge of Christ involves listening to His Word, following His Spirit, and responding to how He deals with us in faith, in truth, and obedience. And I'm going to give you that again. True knowledge of Christ involves listening to His Word. And when I say listening to His Word, being obedient to it is a part of that. Not just hearing it, as James said, but doing it. True knowledge of Christ involves listening to His Word, following the Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, in how to walk out and live out that Word. And responding to how He deals with us in our faith, in our truth, His truth, and in obedience. Faith, truth, obedience. Faith in Christ, knowing the truth, and being obedient to it. That's what Paul's saying. That's his passion. That's the home stretch. That's his push. Look at verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ. He wants to know Christ personally. He wants to have an intimate, real relationship with Him just like any other friend. Like He had with people He knew. With Barnabas and with others. With Timothy. He said, I want to know Jesus. I don't want to just know about him. I don't want to just know what his words are. I want to know him as a person, as the man that he is, that he was when he walked to earth. I want to have a personal relationship with him. And I want to know his resurrection power. The power of his resurrection. The power that raised him from the dead. I want to know that, Paul says. I want that in my life. Not to use, to go around and do this, but to be. I want that power to be, that resurrection power to be in Christ. And he says, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. What Paul's saying there is, I want to be obedient like Jesus was obedient. I want to give up things in my life that I need to give up like Jesus gave up things in his life that he had an option not to. He gave up everything. Paul said, I want to identify with that, with his sufferings. No, he's not saying I want to be poor and miserable. And he's saying, I want to identify with that sacrifice that he made. I want to be the same. I want to sacrifice in my life. I want to be have that same self-sacrifice in my life. Not a victim or martyrdom or woe is me, but that selflessness. He said, that's what I want to identify with and have as a fellowship with. And so, somehow, verse 11, to attain the resurrection from the dead. He's saying when it's over, see, he's on the home stretch. He knows that he's going to die. He knows in his spirit his time's coming to a close. And he knows that he'll die. But he said, and somehow I want to be sure that I'm attaining the resurrection of the dead. He's saying, I want to be part of the rapture. I want to be part of those that the dead in Christ, the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first and be caught up with him in the sky. He says, I want to make sure that I'm attaining that resurrection from the dead. So I want to be sure that I'm living my life right. I'm connected to Christ. I know Jesus Christ. And so that I can attain that resurrection power when it's time to go be with him in heaven. Look at verse 12. And here's where we start to see his passion start to flow. And this is where he starts his home stretch push. And this is what he's encouraging us to do. Not that I have already obtained all this. See, all those things he wants, he says, I haven't obtained it. But I'm going for it. That's my final push. I'm pushing to attain those things. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He's saying, God saved me for a reason. God saved me for all those things. And so I want to take hold of all those things because that's the reason Christ took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of. He said, I haven't got it yet. Not all of it. He's knowing Christ, but he's not satisfied. He wants to know Christ more. I couldn't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, not to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind. I forget all that education I had. I forget all that stuff I did. Standing and watching Stephen stoned while I held his clothes and all the stumbling and even all the good that I put all that behind. I forget what's behind. And I'm straining toward what's ahead. I'm pushing hard down the home stretch. I'm straining for what's ahead, those things he just described. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The prize of attaining that resurrection power. The prize of dying on this earth in Christ and being resurrected with him again. That's the prize I want to attain. And to be with him. for all of eternity. So how do we press on toward this goal to win the prize? You know, we're in the home stretch in this world as we know it. We're in the home stretch. So how do we press on, as Paul said, toward the goal to win the prize? How do we finish the home stretch strong with God? I want to give you two things this morning. And the first thing, and we see it, what Paul just described here. Number one is live with a Christ-centered perspective. Live with a Christ-centered perspective. Let's pop that up, Robbie. Live with a Christ-centered perspective. You see, Paul had that. He had this. This is what he's laying out in these passages. And we get that perspective from his word. We get a Christ-centered perspective from God's word. And this is why his word is so important, because this is what his word does for us. This is what his word does for us. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. The word's wisdom will enrich our lives. Its wisdom will enrich our lives. You see, there's godly wisdom, and then there's all other wisdom. And there's a lot of that all other wisdom in the world. There's a lot of it. And a lot of it makes sense to our flesh and to our carnal mind, but not in God's kingdom. The word's wisdom enriches our lives. It'll make our lives better if we not only listen to it, but we believe it as truth and we're obedient to it. Not as a set of rules, but it's an enriching of our lives when we apply the word to our life. God knows what's best for our lives, and that's what he wants for our lives. He wants to enrich our lives. So its wisdom will enrich our lives. The next thing is its principles. Its principles will guide our lives. Its principles will guide our lives. Its principles shows us what we should and shouldn't do, how we should do things, and the ways that we should do things. And it covers everything from marriage and relationships and kids and finances. It runs the gamut. Its principles will guide our lives. Its truth will protect our lives. The truth of God's word is for our protection. Its truth, next one, Robbie, its truth will protect our lives. It'll protect us from things that are unseen. It'll protect us from things that are seen. It'll help us avoid things that we should, and it'll help us engage things that we should. But it's for our protection. It protects us. The Bible says the enemy comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And see, God's word, the truth of God's word, will protect us from that. And its spirit, the spirit of God's word, its spirit will lead us to victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Its spirit will lead us. The letter of the law kills, but the spirit gives life. Amen. Now that doesn't, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill the law. But in spirit. By my spirit. By my spirit. So its wisdom enriches our lives. Its principles guides our lives. Its truth will protect our lives. And its spirit leads us. Will lead us to victory. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us in the right place, the right time, to the right thing. And it'll pull all those things together, the wisdom, the truth, the protection. The Spirit will bring all that together in our lives. So, the first one is to live with a Christ-centered perspective on life. Live our life with a Christ-centered perspective. And the second thing this morning is to live by principle, not by pressure. To live by principle, not by pressure. You know, there's a lot of pressure in life. There's a lot of pressures in our society. Young ladies, teenagers, there's a lot of pressure in sex. There's a lot of pressure, adults, from the things in the world that appeal to the flesh to get us to chase after those things and not have a Christ-centered perspective. Turn over just a few pages to the right, forward in your Bible, to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You see, Paul tells us to live by principles. If we'll live by principles and not by pressure, and by the way, all the pressures in the world, the pressure that comes to us is trying to pressure us away from God's principles. And there's pressure when we try to stand on God's principles. I mean, you look at today publicly when people share their faith. Pressure comes. Pressure comes. Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him. You know who Christ is? Christ is the Word. And so what he's saying here is, just as you received Him in the Word, continue to live in Him, live in the Word, be rooted in the Word, and built up in Him, the Word, and strengthened in your faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See, there's a lot of pressures in life, and all those pressures are contrary to God's Word. Pressures to give in. There's pressure in the church. Those pressures come to the church. Pressures to give in, to compromise, to avoid standing on truth for the sake of ease or just keeping the peace. I face it a lot. You guys face it a lot. Sometimes you don't recognize it, but you do. It's easier to give in to the pressure and to just move over for it or to back up for it than it is to push back against it. But choosing to live by principle and resist the pressure, here's what it does. It aligns us with God's Word. That's principle. Principle aligns our relationships. God's principles align our relationships. Ask yourself today, are my relationships in alignment? You know, if you've got a car and the front end's out of line, it's going to wear your tires out. It's going to shake, it's going to wear your tires out prematurely. And see, that same thing happens to us spiritually if we get out of alignment. And that's what that pressure of the world tries to do. If we don't go on principle and stay aligned on principle, that pressure will get us out of alignment and it'll wear us out. And that's when compromise and giving in comes. It aligns our finances. Principle will align our finances. It aligns our morals, our business practices. It aligns our marriage. Principle aligns our marriages. And all the critical areas, ask yourself this morning, are all the critical areas of my life being aligned by principle or by pressure? Everybody knows what peer pressure is? Okay. Does everybody know what peer pressure is?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all, now you're awake. You went to sleep on me. And a lot of times, adults, we think of peer pressure as, that's what the kids go through. That's what the teenagers go, Nope. Oh, they do. They go through it. But so do we as adults. Pressure or principle. Is my life being aligned in the critical areas of my life being aligned by principle or pressure? What pressures? They're everywhere. Sex, pornography, money, status, just to name a few of the heavier pressures. So, Paul says, here's the home stretch. Here's the home stretch. Here's what you need to do. This is what I'm doing, and this is what you need to do. Have a Christ-centered perspective. Live a Christ-centered perspective with a Christ-centered perspective, and live by principle, not pressure. 2 Chronicles 16, listen to this. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That's good stuff. That's encouraging. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are committed to Him. So Paul is saying, hit the home stretch, hit it hard, and God's looking for you. And He's looking for that heart that's pressing forward toward the goal because He wants to strengthen it. He'll come and strengthen it. He'll strengthen it. He'll strengthen it. Let's pray together. Put your notes away. And we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. As the worship team comes, I just want us to, you know, we're in the home stretch of our 21-day fast. Tomorrow begins the last week. And we break the fast February 1st, next Sunday. And after church, so all the restaurants will be full. But we're on a home stretch. And I know some of you, and I was talking with Karen yesterday, and I was saying, you know, I thought I slept really good on Friday night, but man, by the middle of the day, I just felt like I hadn't slept in days. And I said, maybe I'm just kind of weakening a little bit from the fast. And maybe you're feeling that. Maybe physically you're starting to get a little weak if you've been fasting in the area of foods and stuff. But I want to encourage you. You're on the home stretch. Push. Press in. Push back against the pressure to give in. Because really, we're at the point where God can really move. When we get to that point where we're really starting to get empty. Because, you know, you just don't start a fast today and tomorrow you're empty. And so we're at that point. So I want us to just go into a time of prayer. You know, I talked about as I taught those 4 weeks on fasting and prayer. You know, if fasting's not combined with prayer, it's not much good. It's just a diet. And so I want us to really to hit the home stretch is to spend some time together here praying. So don't sit there and look at me. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and look at Jesus. Fasting, we're on the home stretch. Finish strong. Don't finish weak, finish strong. You can do it. See, the purpose of fasting is to interrupt our lives. To break the ritual and routine so that God can become more of a reality. It's to empty ourselves. Empty our lives of things. Things that God doesn't want to be a part of our lives. And fasting is an interruption to and a chance to break our will. To break our will and to seek and to do His will. Fasting. Purpose of fasting is what we talked about last week. To come to a place of brokenness with God and before God. So, our focus for this fast has been to draw closer to Jesus. Are you drawing closer to Jesus in this fast? And the other focus was to grow spiritually. Are you growing spiritually? You know, I've experienced some things that put me in a position where I either was going to grow spiritually or I was going to back up from the pressure. And thankfully, I had a choice to make, but thankfully I made the choice to grow spiritually. And it was hard. It was hard to deal with. It was hard to do that. But I grew spiritually because I was resisting the pressure. And it caused me to grow spiritually in an area. Are you growing spiritually? You know, the altar is open, as always, from the time we open the doors. If you want to come up here and pray, if you need to come up here and press in, if you need to come up here and be prayed for. Maybe you got pressure. The pressure's on and you need help. You need strength to push back. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. But let's finish the home stretch strong. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to Him. Would you pray this prayer with me? Just pray this prayer with me this morning. Pray it out loud. Dear Lord, show me before this fast is over what you want to do in me and what I need to do to allow that to happen. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning. I pray, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would, as your word said, come and strengthen those whose hearts are committed to you. Father, I pray for those hearts that maybe aren't committed this morning, but they want to be committed. Holy Spirit, draw them. Draw them to you, Father. Help them to make that commitment of their life to Jesus Christ. To just step over in that one big step of faith. Help them to ask you for your forgiveness. To believe that when they ask, you forgive. And to surrender as we sang already. Or we will sing, surrender their heart to you. Father, help those that are fasting and diligently seeking after you to press in now. As the hunger comes and the hunger maybe gets stronger, God, help them to resist the pressure. Not out of a legalistic way, but out of a way of being drawn into you and trusting you. Rather than trusting the flesh. God, help us not to trust the flesh. It's real, we live in it, but it's so easily deceived. That's why the enemy appeals to the things of the flesh so much. God, help us to draw near to you, to draw closer to you as individuals, as families, as a church. God, help us to grow spiritually, to move beyond just the mundane and just the routine and the ritualistic, to move forward, to know Christ intimately, to identify with Him, to fellowship with Him, to begin to have a Christ-centered and live a Christ-centered perspective. That doesn't always match up with our thoughts and our ways. God, help us to live by principle and not by pressure, because the pressures come. Jesus said they would come, and they do. And they come stronger. And they seem to come stronger in these last days of history. But Father, Your Word says that You are looking all over the earth, for those that are committed to come and strengthen our hearts. And so, God, we trust You to do that. And so, we resist the pressure. We live by principle. We commit to live by principle. In the name above all names, the strong name of Jesus.